Okay. Okay, just checking that I'm on. Okay, everyone. Not sure. Okay, everyone. Hiya. Hello, everyone. Hey, my name's Ian, and I get the wonderful privilege of speaking today. It's absolutely fantastic just to see everyone on this nice, slightly cooler day than we've had. Been at this church for about 10 years, got a family, six of us in it total, four children, one wife, one husband. let's just pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for water, the life that you give us, everything, physical water and spiritual water. It's refreshing to the soul, Lord, and I pray that what I speak today will refresh everyone's soul here, that people will be given new life, like the parched earth outside, literally in every park in England. I pray that we're all refreshed and there's just greenness grows up in our hearts and that we may be drawn closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, there's a little bit of an inkling into what I'm speaking on, water into wine. I'm doing the passage in John chapter 2, where Jesus visits a wedding and he does an amazing miracle, the first miracle of his ministry. So, before I get to that, a bit about me. I like problem solving. Puzzles are something that I find really interesting. Me and my wife, we do the Wordle. I sometimes beat her. She always beats me. And we enjoy doing it. But Rubik's Cubes. This is a puzzle I really enjoy. The problem is, I can do that. I've been sitting there before the service. That is the best I can do. One side, nice and done, all matched around the edge, but I cannot do anything further than that. Anything further, and in my own efforts, all I do is mess up what I've already done. It just never gets back to what it should be. Tilly, I've got this one. This is a bit of a mess. Could you please fix this puzzle for me, please? I can't do it, so here you go, sweet. Thank you very much. If you could get that one sorted and make it look neat and tidy. So, let's read the passage. Let's turn to John chapter 2 from verse 1 to, I'll read to 10, but it does go to 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were six stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 12 or 13 gallons each. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." So they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out and take it to the head waiter." So they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who drew the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first. When the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This is the beginning of the signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So that's the story. In that story, there are four main protagonists. Three of them talk, four of them are there. The first protagonist is the problem solver, Mary. The second protagonist, please don't get your pitchforks out, is Jesus, the reluctant hero. The third one are the servants, the faithful obedient. And the final one is the head waiter, the ignorant proclaimer. Let's go through each one, and I'll explain what I mean by each of those titles. Mary, the problem solver. Mary, like me, is a problem solver, an amazing woman. She was smart, she was clever, she knew exactly what was going on with Jesus. The Bible very clearly says that she knew him from a young age. She'd seen him grow up. Many years ago, she'd seen him in the temple, be super wise. And it says from that day on, she pondered all these things in her heart. So Mary knew Jesus, but she was there, and she was also an observant woman. The wedding was going on, and suddenly they ran out of wine. She sees it, and she thinks, what can we do? She may have tried to tell them to buy more wine from Lidl. No Lidl's existed. So she turned to the very next place that she could solve the problem. She turned to an expert, her son. He wasn't an expert in winemaking, and in fact, he says that. Woman, what has this to do with me? But this is the thing. She had faith in Jesus. She was wise enough to know that he was the only way to get the problem solved that day. When she turned to him in verse 4, he basically said, this isn't quite what I should be doing on the earth. But his mother then turns to the servants and said, whatever he tells you, do it. This is a key statement, and in my opinion, this is the most important statement in this passage. More than what the head waiter says later, more than what Jesus says, remember that statement for the rest of your lives. Whatever Jesus tells you, do it. It's key. If you take one thing away, just that. She did not turn to him from a place of ignorance. She turned to him because at that point in time, maybe if Joseph had passed away by then, she was the only person who knew everything about Jesus' life up until that point. Her statement was not a statement of blind faith, but active, eyes wide open, relationship-based faith. And that's the amazing thing. Let's move on to Jesus, the reluctant hero. Now, I say that very respectfully because this is Jesus. He wasn't reluctant to do good. But let me explain this in a bit of a better context. We have lots of medical professionals here. We've got a medical, we've got a hospital there with tons of students. I'm sure there are many nurses, doctors, paramedics, all of you guys in the audience right now, you know, physios, everything. I'll bet one of the things that happens to some of you is you're on holiday, some kid's running along the poolside, they trip, fall, bump their head. Is there a doctor? Is there a nurse? Is there a paramedic in the house? And you're the one who's summoned upon. But here's the thing. You're not on shift that day. You don't have your scrubs. You're not clocked in. You're not going to get paid for this. In fact, probably you're working outside of what your terms and conditions should be, and you're opening yourself up to litigation. But you're a good doctor. You're a good nurse. You're a good physio. You're a good whatever it is you do. And you step in and you help anyway. This is like Jesus. Jesus' mission was not to turn water into wine. It was to make dead men live. He came to the earth to die on the cross, show us the way to salvation. He didn't come to rescue a wedding. But here's the thing. His mum asked him. If your mum asks you to do something, if you're a good son, you'll do it. He loved his mum and honored her request. He loved the bridegroom and he loved the bride. And he saved their wedding. He loved God the Father. He had it in his power to do good, so he honored God, and he did good. He was a hero. He was a reluctant hero. But he did it, even though it wasn't his job at that time. So that's what I mean. He was willing. He just made it clear that that wasn't quite his full mission. Number three, the faithful, obedient. The servants. These are the nobodies. These are the unnamed people that were key to this miracle happening. So I've just come back from Limitless Festival. Reuben and the youth were all there. It was phenomenal. I did such a fun job. Litter picking. Basically, all night, literally till 2 a.m., we went around, cleaned up the litter, me and one other guy for 7,000 people. It was quite a big job. But we litter picked. And you know what? I'm speaking on stage now, and there were other people speaking on stage there, but my job on that time was to litter pick. It was great, and I'd highly recommend anyone to do it, right? But there are some jobs that are big, some jobs that are little. Some you get the credit for, some you do not. Here's the thing. These servants were just faithful, obedient, and they did what they were told. And they were, well, asked. You see, in verse 8, Jesus said, "Draw some out and take it to the head waiter." And they took it to him. That's crazy. They literally took water and they served it to their boss. They were crazy to do it, in my opinion. I probably may not have had the faith to do it, but they did it anyway. They actually did it. It made no sense what Jesus told them to, but they were obedient. And that obedience led to a reward. What was their reward? Knowing and experiencing God's hand working through their hands. There are very few people in the Bible who actually shared a miracle with Jesus. Maybe Peter walking on water shared that miracle, the little boy sharing his bread and his fish when Jesus shared it. But there are very few times where it isn't just Jesus doing the miracle in his ministry. This is one of the times where he literally is hands off. And one of the key things about this is he didn't fake it. If he had got his disciples to maybe turn this water into wine, maybe they could have slipped a little bit of wine juice in there or this or that. But no, it was a surprise. He turned up to a wedding. They ran out of the wedding. He wasn't the organizer of the wedding. This was out of the blue. He didn't use his guys. He used random staff, and they saw the miracle. I hope that some of them were there on the resurrection day, one of the 500. Or, you know, I hope that some of them stuck with Jesus because they saw it and they were part of it. Obedience leads to an amazing blessing. Let's go to the final protagonist in this story, the head waiter. I call him the ignorant proclaimer. When I see him like an atheist, a bit like, and I love the guy, Sir David Attenborough, amazing guy, lived 100 years, and he's seen the glory of nature. He has seen all of what God has created. But unfortunately, his conclusion is that it is just unguided, random chance that has created everything, rather than a mind, a beautiful God who created the universe and created the earth and guided everything that's led to where we are now. So the conclusion of the waiter is to give glory to the bridegroom or to the organizer of the wedding. It wasn't to give glory to Jesus. He did not recognize where the miracle came from. He is not evil. He is just ignorant of what happened. It's our job as Christians to tell the ignorant that there actually is a God, and they can change their perspective, and they can see, hang on a minute, you didn't just bring out the best wine. You created the best wine. Similar to Mary, though, the head waiter did make a fantastic declaration. In verse 10, he said, "Every man serves the good wine first, and then when the guests are drunk, he serves the poorer wine. But you have kept the best wine until now." This was a prophetic insight. We were coming to the end of the Old Testament, and now he just declared at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the old wine and the old way of doing things is gone. The good wine has just come. That was Jesus. He brought through him, his resurrection, his salvation, and for us, the Holy Spirit. That is the new wine that we live under right now. So, in conclusion, this is the answer. Well, this is the thing that you've all been waiting for. This is the thing that you guys have all wanted to know. Could Tilly do the Rubik's Cube? Come on, Tilly. Did you do it? Yay, she did it. Thank you very much. You see, just like Mary knew the capabilities of Jesus, she knew what he could do. She knew that he was the right person for that task. I knew my daughter could do this, okay? She did it in 2 minutes. I knew she'd do it very, very quickly. But this is the key. Each one of us has a crisis in our lives. Sometimes it's a crisis because you're not even a Christian and you don't know where you're going to go when you die. Sometimes you're already a Christian, you know God, but you've got a wedding at Cana crisis. You don't know where your next bill is going to be paid. You are struggling in a relationship. You're struggling in this and that. I am the one, like Mary, saying, listen to what Jesus says. Come to Jesus. Talk to him. He will give you instructions. He will give you a way of escape. And that's what he's here for everyone, young and old. All of us can turn to Jesus. Did Mary think Jesus would turn water into wine? Probably not. So you might think that God will save you one way in your crisis, but he'll save you a very different way. We don't know. She just knew that she trusted him to handle the situation, and he did. You see, I think each one of us at times gets lost, and we really do just need to turn to Jesus. So what I want now is, if we all just close our eyes, I want to just pray. Maybe if everyone stands up, and I just want to pray for everyone and bring to God that crisis point that you may have. It might be a big crisis, like huge one, or it might just be a little thing in your life that you just need Jesus' wisdom on. You just need God to just say, I'm going to come in, and I'm going to turn that water in your life into wine. I'm going to turn that broken relationship. So let's just pray. As we did earlier, just put your hand on your heart, and if you can think of someone else who has that crisis point, maybe you're the Mary, and you're saying, excuse me, Jesus, come into someone else's life. Just think of that person right now, but let's just pray. One more. The final person is, if you have never met Jesus, if you are the ignorant person, and there's nothing wrong with being ignorant, it simply means you just don't know. If you've never met with Jesus and you think, yeah, I really do want to get to know him, just later on, after I've finished praying and everything there, you can come to the front. There'll be people here. We can just pray with you, have a chat with you, and just teach you about the amazing Savior. So, Heavenly Father, I pray for each person here. We're all at our wedding somewhere in our hearts. We're all that part in life where we just have a little crisis going on. We need your help. Some are big problems, some are small. But Jesus, we turn to you, and whatever you tell us, we will do. So in Jesus' name, I pray that everyone here, their crisis, you can show them what the crisis is, and then you show them a way of escape. Holy Spirit, rest upon each person right now. And for those who do not know you, those who just see nature as nature, show them that there is a real living God who created everything from the beginning. That this isn't random, unguided chance, but this is absolute design. In Jesus' name, amen.